Hi and welcome everyone. This is Stan, your favorite Data Role podcast host. And today I am joined by Zoltán Tündik, founder of Hitther Agency and, among others, the organizer of multiple iGaming conferences across Europe, but not limited to many, many more. Zoltán, how does it feel to be on the other side of the microphone?
Hi, everyone. Hi, Stan. Thank you for having me. It's weird to be on the other side of the microphone, but yeah, I hope that I will do my best today.
Even if it is the same microphone, it's just another role, right?
Yes, it is.
And in today's episode, I wanted to summarize this crazy year, 2024, together with you. I've got a few questions prepared, but let's start with the basics. So tell me, how was this year, 2024, for you, for your perspective? How were all the events? How do you feel it based on everything and all your activity over the last year?
So I could say we are somehow feeling the same as we did at the end of 2019. That was a year which was very hectic in terms of conferences, in terms of growth. Everybody was very anxious and looking forward to the next year because it was such a strong year. So that's what the feeling is now at the end of 2024. Hopefully 2025 will not be the same as 2020 and we will continue seeing this excitement going on. But yeah, it was good. Our event site have grown almost, Prague doubled. Our conference in Prague Gaming and Tech Summit doubled. And our conference in Warsaw, a European Gaming Congress, tripled versus the earlier year. So that's why we're going back there in 2025 as well. On the media side, we have seen also huge growth in terms of readership on our websites, on the multiple industries we cover. But the biggest growth was in the blockchain and the iGaming news sectors.
Okay. And when it comes to new technologies, because technology, data analytics are what interests me most. So what do you see in terms of what specifically gained the popularity? Did you see any specific innovation that was, we could say, standing out or like played the role of, let's say, game changer?
We all, of course, need to mention the wider adoption of artificial intelligence and big data crunching. But when it comes to the tracking data for basically your website, we've seen a huge shift away from Google. We ourselves did that, no longer relying on Google Analytics. We moved away from that to some independent analytic providers to measure our incoming traffic. And it was very interesting to see that many have agreed to that. Yes, there might be a shift to more smaller companies that cater specific needs rather than just sticking around with the giants, with Google and the rest of the analytic services out there. In terms of innovation, yeah, we can say that many of the iGaming companies, while started using AI, have mostly innovated in their marketing campaigns. In my opinion, nothing stood out in terms of a new product because these products are just the same as they've been 5-6 years ago. Maybe some of the companies promise huge game changers starting 2025, but we will just wait and see. But what about you? What do you think? Which new technology became popular this year?
To me, let me give it a thought. Well, for what it's worth, I discovered many advancements when it comes to the application and development of the AI models. So the research that and the results that we see today, I can literally tell that we are taking huge leaps year after year. Maybe sometimes you can see the technologies in their infancy. So then you will see the memes flying over the internet. You know, it's always easy to laugh at some silly, illogical mistakes that the models do, certainly. But on a more serious note, when it comes to data analytics, for example, when you want to process large amounts of data and you want to transform them into something meaningful, this is what we call an ETL process. With the today's advancements in the field of AI, you can automate up to 75-80% of the job. So imagine that tomorrow, if you have 5 data engineers, you can fire 4 of them and keep that one engineer that knows how to automate the whole stuff. So you got one person that can have like another degree of specialization that calls both their setup and skill set as of today. But then suddenly 4 out of 5 become redundant. This is a revolution. It will continue to reshape the whole world. It doesn't apply only to the iGaming, but it will certainly impact the iGaming landscape as we see it today, perhaps with many more companies bringing on the adoption of data analytics, because suddenly it will become much more affordable. And perhaps on the other hand, generating huge supply of data engineers that will suddenly lose their jobs. So we are on the verge of something big is supposed to happen, whether it's going to be already the next year or maybe within the next 2-3 years. You know, certainly, especially when it comes to bigger companies and corporations, the time it takes for management to realize that they can make some savings based on innovation that they haven't seen, it just needs some time. So they will not jump from one day to another, but I guess we are about to see some something new, certainly.
Yes, definitely. And like I said, in terms of innovation in the iGaming sphere, in terms of new services being brought on, maybe we can also touch base on cybersecurity, because that's what has started to become a vital part. It has often been ignored, but now it's full on, because the threat, it has been out there, but now it's more imminent, and there are more data to be stolen by hijackers, because of course most companies collect even more data nowadays.
And one thing is the collection, another is if you want to get some meaningful results, you need to process it. So you're storing it in a, we call it redundancy for a reason. It's in order to keep the continuity, and in case of a, let's say, unlikely event, disaster, there's a fire in the server room or whatever, you're keeping the data in multiple locations for in order to ensure the availability. And of course, this whole replication of data sets, which is a common practice when you're in the cloud, storage is cheap, so you can replicate, you are able to make for the continuity of decision-making within your business. At the same time, there's more points of failure, potentially. So this kind of reinforces the need to have like a firm control. If you're building your data infrastructure in the cloud, there's already proven paths to do it. But since many companies, and which is totally normal, first embark on the journey, how we can benefit from it, then only it is a second step, how to make sure that we've got everything under control and in a secure way. And this is also hard to prove from a business perspective, to prove the case, because it does not generate additional value. It does generate costs. So the costs are sure, the benefits are intangible, because you can say that it reduces the likelihood by X percent of potential malicious leak or whatever. But it's hard to prove the point when it comes to going to the upper management and showing them numbers, because they know that they'll pay, they don't know what they get out of it, and I also understand this perspective. So this is tricky. And then what comes to my mind is actually when it comes to the biggest challenges for the industry in the last year, what would you name?
I would say first it would be following up and managing all the new clients they gathered throughout all the big conferences, because this has been the year when everybody was everywhere. Every feed on social media was full that I am attending this conference, attending that conference. I joke around because every time the conference is over, they say that this is the best conference they ever been to. Then they go to the next one, then the same text goes out. But yeah, if they were so successful at these conferences, I most probably the biggest challenge was following up with all those clients and of course securing them as partners. But also logistics, traveling all around the world with the exhibitions, and then also having the team on focus with the launch of the products they've been doing. So I think this has been some of the biggest challenges in the industry. Second, I would say, is compliance. Many of the regulations which came in force and adopted have need to be met. So the compliance has also been a challenge for some companies to just like stay legal. But I think that most of them managed. Just hoping that the startups that were launched in 2024 at the beginning are still alive by the end of the year, did not run out of budget. But what about you? What do you think were the biggest challenges for the industry this year?
So for me, I would definitely name regulations. I even saw one of my customers going out of contact for a couple of months because of changing regulations. So basically, change imposed by the regulator meant that they have to shift the priorities. And suddenly they need to adapt. So if you need to adapt for compliance, then you're not thinking about some innovation in making business. Yeah. So we also have more and more markets that are regulated. So it seems as if it was more room for fair competition. At the same time, yeah, you have to follow the changes. And again, your focus is on preventing losing the license. Instead of building a company. And beside this, if we speak about the economy, we are probably experiencing since the very beginning of this decade pretty gloomy times. And what I can tell from our side, especially in the IT consulting industry, we also see the job destruction. The companies are restructuring, adapting to the new reality. And this applies to technological departments of gaming companies. Many layoffs across the field in Poland. Some of the biggest companies have laid off sometimes even dozens of data engineers and so on. So this is the reality. This is the challenge. Financial restructurization, savings, etc., and rationalization of effort results in specific movements that impact also the workforce.
So, because I saw this happening in other countries as well, in Eastern Europe, Central Europe, do you think that this is because of all those days that when companies, IT companies, thought that Eastern Europe is cheap in terms of labor is over?
Partially, there is a movement of outsourcing to India, which triggers job destruction, but especially in the most, let's say, repetitive fields when it comes to, for example, data inputting, which I think maybe by the time we move this to India, it will be fully automated by AI. So this could be even a stronger driver. I think that when it comes to the cost of the labor, the difference is still considerable. But these trends of moving the whole business process outsourcing are definitely slowing down. This is without a shadow of doubt. Another thing that just came to my mind is something that we observed when talking with clients. When AI became popular, it's not that it didn't exist before. I even had a class in artificial intelligence in 2010. So it's not necessarily something that suddenly appeared. It's the propagation of the knowledge about it. But suddenly, since it became popular and management learned that, hey, there's this AI, maybe let's focus all our attention on this because it's the future. And that's true. At the same time, neglecting other things that are the foundation for the AI. So I think we spoke during the panel in Warsaw that there's a garbage in, garbage out. If you provide poor data into the model, it will give you poor results. And it's not the fault of the model. It's the fault of the approach. But since both spendings would fall into the category of IT, and if you have one budget, you need to decide in which pocket you're putting the money, in which position on the budget you're allocating the funds. If you go one way, then there's suddenly money that is missing in the other initiatives, especially in the data foundation, making sure that the quality, so completeness, accuracy of the data is up to the level that helps you to make decisions. I can even tell you an example from our ground at Astroforest. We wanted to summarize our marketing and sales activities, and only to realize that at the very beginning, we didn't have accurate data. And we could say, okay, but maybe myself as a CEO, I should have the idea of what is the top of mind figure, what are those numbers, and then started speaking with founders. Each of us had a slightly different idea. That's when it turns out that you need to have facts instead of ideas to support your decision making. And it might turn out as a vicious cycle, but I think that eventually companies will realize that we need to kind of balance and strike this balance between what you feed into a model and fine-tuning the model itself, because you can fine-tune the model forever, but if it's built on a pile of crap, it will return you crap.
Exactly, yeah.
And I know that you're also running the podcast. I know that you're organizing many conferences. So would you name a few topics that were the most interesting to the audience or to listeners over this year?
Sure thing. Yeah, our podcast is now turning 4 years as of January. We are launching season 4. And yeah, this has been the year which has seen the biggest growth on our podcast. 60% of the talks were focusing on cybersecurity and blockchain, mostly on the development of secure blockchains. About 20% were on AI, and the rest of the topics were about marketing, esports, and such topics. I can say that the episodes that were about blockchain were the most downloaded episodes, especially the ones that were talking about interoperability. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's a very hip word of the year. And yeah, of course, we did not fall away from the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency subject either, because that has been also a major topic this year. At the conferences, the most popular topics were about marketing. Besides the fact that we have many compliance-related panel discussions and also operation-related in terms of fintech and artificial intelligence and how to use it in your business, most of the topics that were very well attended were the marketing ones and the search engine optimization ones, which is there have been so many changes in the SEO world this year. Most of the participants were interested if they are still ranking, because everybody needs to rank. We all have websites that we need to focus on so we can spread the word. It's not just social media. So these have been the topics that we had been most trending for this year.
Mm-hmm. And on our side, I think the biggest hit was the episode with Anne-Marie from Pragmatic Solutions. I was a bit afraid that the topic might be too technology or process focused, so therefore maybe not necessarily appealing to the audience. But I was really happy to discover that people found it insightful, easy to consume, even if we spoke about something that is really, really specific. And in terms of changes on the market, so again, comparing to the previous years, broadly speaking, what do you see in terms of those changes that are happening?
Well, lots of changes are happening, especially since in the past 5 years, responsible gaming related topics have been encouraged at conferences, and there was lots of talk about them everywhere. So it has now come somehow in the eyes of the players as well. After so many years, players are now becoming aware of the dangers of playing on non-licensed casinos, sports betting companies, and stuff like that. Of course, it's a small percentage, but it's growing. In terms of launches, we've seen a lot again this year. Like I said, it feels like 2019. It was a very crazy year. It has been the same in terms of slots games, about 35, 40 games launches per week, which is crazy. Many of them contracting celebrities to boost their brand awareness. So I can see that there has been a huge growth this year. Probably when the reports about Q4, we can see it. Hopefully the loss is not that big with all, like I said, attending all these conferences takes away money from the budget. But yeah, I think it has been a huge growth versus 2023.
And when people talk about data analytics, do you see a shift in how these are viewed in iGaming based on your observations on the market, on the talks you've heard during the events?
Yes, definitely. In prior years, there wasn't even talk about it. So there were only a few people talking about data analytics, and those were the people that worked only with data. Now you can see even C-level executives talking about the data which they crunched, and now they know some statistics. The industry has matured. It finally matured. It took about 20 years to do it, but now they are considered as real companies that are no longer just being part of this fun iGaming industry, that we are actually the entertainment industry, and they are fully embracing this, even competing now with, let's say, Hollywood, because it has become such a huge industry that is no longer ignored, and it has to be serious. You can see in the big IPO listings of some of the companies who are on NASDAQ and Wall Street, and these guys are very serious. You can also see the many M&As, some companies being bought up by the larger companies who already have responsible gaming programs implemented, and they do huge data analytics there, because that, of course, relies exclusively on the data which is provided by the player, collected throughout the websites. And I think this is it about the data analytics in 2024. There has been more talk than more than ever.
Yeah, and what I see also is that you got many professionals that are really strongly rooted in their habits, which makes it sometimes hard to promote change around the digital transformation and so on. But today is either you jump on the bandwagon, you make the changes, or you jump off the Titanic if you happen to sleep and miss the iceberg that is just ahead. And that's also my role here, to promote those best practices and help to build that understanding and realize the gains out of it. And if you heard about specific techniques that are becoming more common?
Of course, artificial intelligence, that's the biggest one out there. I also noticed that until 2022, that's when ChatGPT was launched, right? 2022, November, or something like that, October, November. All the talks we've been having at the conferences was about big data. All trending words were big data, the hashtags were big data. And it quickly changed. You don't hear about big data anymore, because all you hear now is AI and machine learning. It's the same thing. It's about using big data efficiently to analyze it and then have accurate data analysis. So yeah, AI has become the number one common technique used in data analysis.
Myself, I would name three.
All right.
Number one, it would be the self-service. So it requires a whole transformation of the company, because you need to vest the responsibility for high quality data into the BI teams. But their side, they also need to be equipped with the best tools and know-how. But the idea is that your business has access to the data. The data is of good quality, so let them do whatever reports they need. They don't need to go to the IT guys. There's always a bottleneck. The IT will tell you, hey, maybe next quarter. No, I don't have the time. I need to analyze my promotion today. So this whole concept, which is already exists at least for a decade, but we have even more possibilities to implement it today, especially with all the trainings online, for the materials that are released on a daily basis. And then after, you have this whole area of promoting the champions, or also we call power users. So the people who by their actions will propagate the mentality that, hey, it's the data behind our decisions. So building this, what we call data culture. And so this is number one. Number two is the AI assistance. So I already mentioned to you the ETL process that can be automated to 80% degree. Huge saving for a company that implements it. The next step, it will be to replace the data analysts. So we already replaced the data engineers. Let's replace the data analyst. Imagine you have a chatbot assistant. You write to him, hey, why did my GGR decrease this month? And you get the response, hey, Zoltan, altogether you're doing better. There's more active players, more deposits, GGR is trending up. Just that 2 days ago, you had multiple players hitting the jackpot, making big wins. This kind of biases your numbers towards the bottom. But statistically speaking, by the end of the month, you should recover this, and this will certainly get you to an all-time high. So the whole job of the data analyst can be automated as well. Of course, you need people that will do the upkeep, that will make sure that this AI assistant is not telling you some, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That that it's consistent and it's trustworthy. But well, you don't need 20 people to do that. You maybe need one or two. And this was number two. And number three is the machine learning modeling. We discussed it during our panel. It's been with us 20, 30 years. But now with the limitless computational power, you can do everything. So I remember during my studies, we had those models that had thousands of records. My computer was already bugging because it could not handle this huge, big data. And today, you just set up a server as you see fit in the cloud. It's just like this, the click of the fingers, you scrap it after your job is done. It's just wonderful. You can train your models on billions of records, and more data means better results in this case. That's what we do in our job. Now I thought, just to end up on a lighter note, would you nominate any book, article, game, or a movie that inspired you during this year?
Well, books I don't read. Actually, yesterday I was recording a podcast and I was telling our guests that every episode we do on our podcast, somebody brings up a book and talks about it in short. So actually, I don't need to read books. I just do the podcast and hear about books and don't need to read them. Articles, games. Yeah, there were a few games launches this year that were inspirational, especially the one, I don't know if we are allowed to save companies, but it's a slots game launched by B Gaming. The Snoop Dogg dollars, which were inspired by Snoop Dogg. Yeah, that's a proper way of using a huge name. Probably their team was influenced by the fact that Snoop Dogg was such a huge presence during the Olympics this summer in Paris. And they probably got on the trend and worked with him. Movies, man. I don't think I should mention these because they are not very good inspirations. I watched Mayor of Kingstown this year. I watched Ray Donovan, Ozark. So it's about money laundering and fixing stuff. So it's not an inspiration as an entrepreneur this year. But yeah, there were a couple of movies that were great. To end this on a lighter note, you can find inspiration in anything if you're paying attention.
That's fair to say, because potentially in every piece of art or literature or whatever, everyone will find something for themselves, and referring to the situations that you might have experienced and some new observations to look at things under a different angle. So definitely, yes.
Exactly.
Wow. I think that's going to be it for today. Thanks a lot, Zoltán, for this interview.
Thank you, Stanislav, and thank you for the audience for sticking around. I hope I did a good job being on the other side, not being the moderator or host, but being a guest. It was hard, I can tell you that.
Definitely. So you definitely did a great job. So thanks again for this interview. Wishing you lots of success in this upcoming 2025. Merry Christmas. And remember, keep rolling with the data.